Oh shit. Oh shit. It's going off now.
Welcome to Highway Diary. I'm your host, Eric Hollerbach, with me, with Thomas.
Hello.
What's up? We met a couple years ago, actually, in advanced level UCB class taught by Curtis Gwynn.
Yeah.
Monocene?
Yeah.
And I always remember this guy as being fucking hilarious. This guy, he's been doing big things. Power Violence.
Yep. Power Violence.
You're promote this show, and it just is a huge hit. I remember you talking about this in class, like, yeah, you know, I'm thinking about starting this show. And it was in the very early stages. That was like 2 years ago
or yeah.
3 years ago or something?
About 2.5 years ago.
Cool. Tell me about Power Violence.
It started as a show where me and some of my friends would play videos. It was called Power Violence Presents, and we just called ourselves Power Violence. You know, just, that's a cool genre of music that we like to listen to, and you know, we had to get something to fill the time when there wasn't videos, so we got stand-ups to come and perform, and it's kind of become this variety show, this stand-up sketch video music show, and it's, I mean, we've been lucky enough for it to have it gained a following, you know, towards the end of the first year, and people have been going to it, and it's been really fun.
Right, that's now, an understatement. Yeah. You're being very humble right now. Zach Galifianakis and Aziz Ansari, Bill Burr, Andy Dick.
Yeah, Andy Dick wasn't actually there, but I've heard a lot of people. Yeah, a lot of people have said that he performed there, but he never has.
Oh, okay.
But I think there's some sort of article that said that he did, but he didn't. It'd be cool if he
Andy
would.
Dick was rumored to be at Power Violence. His name is forever in the internet archives as being connected.
Yeah, I mean, those guys did perform. The other guys, that's a dream come true to get to stand backstage with those guys.
Yeah, man. So how did that happen? It was just this hit show, and they heard about it, and did they contact you and just want to do it?
Sort of. I mean, Aziz. That's how it happened, is he had heard about it, and he's really, you know, hip to what's going on, and he's always trying to do, you know, spots, and he just appeared in the theater one night and was like, hey, can I do a spot? Right, sure. And Zach, I would always joke at the end of our show. Next week we have Zach Galifianakis and Dave Chappelle, and one of our friends was like, hey man, I'm friends with Zach, I could probably get him to do your show. And so, as a birthday present for my friend Bud, who also helped produce the show with me, our friend got Zach to come do the
show.
That's
unbelievable, yeah.
And then Bill Burr is my favorite story. Bud actually helps Bill Burr fix with his computer stuff, like his printer and his computer. And instead of being paid one day, Bud was like, hey, why not, instead of you paying me, you just come do the show? And Bill was like, all right, that's easy enough. So Bud got him to do the show, and now that Bill knows it's kind of it's a good show, he'll come by whenever he can.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah,
I mean, when you're building towards an hour, you know, and you don't have anything booked, like, yeah, he could make 10 grand a night, but it's like, hey, you know, you want to stay fresh.
Yeah, so totally. Yeah, I mean, those cool guys have dropped in, and there's been some other cool drop-ins, and...
So who are the Power of Violence troupe? There's four of you guys, four of the main people.
There's four of us in front of the camera. It's me, Clay.
What do you mean camera? Where's it stream?
Well, we don't stream the show, but we also make a lot of videos, and we tour around and do, like, little tour videos and stuff. But the main performers are me, Clay Tatum, Bud Diaz, and Rodney Berry. And then Evan Mays does all of our artwork and helped kind of create our aesthetic and our vibe. And then Jeremy Ritchie is the sound engineer behind the booth. Anytime we do the live show or if we do the show out of town, it's always Jeremy. And Jeremy's in some of the tour videos, too, because he's a great skater. And we'll go skate and film him skate.
Yeah, I mean, it's so sick that you have this, like, kind of variety hour thing. It's also like, you know, the internet has totally frazzed everyone's brains. Now everyone has a short attention span. We can't watch a 90-minute movie, but we can watch 90 minutes of a bunch of different stuff.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, and so that's our goal, is to keep it moving and keep it fresh, and kind of anything goes, and we don't really have any rules, you know, as far as running the show goes. And also, we keep it really loose, and we don't stress about anything. As far as, the only thing we really stress about is whether or not there's people there. And ideally, there's going to be people there.
Tell me about these videos. Where can people pick them up?
YouTube.com/powerviolencevideo. We've got a bunch of cool videos on there.
Sweet, man.
A lot of cool videos.
Do you want me to play the audio from any of those?
Maybe you can try to play the audio for this one called Smooth Selling.
Smooth Selling.
It's a short video, yeah.
Let's play it.
Hey everyone, Dick Kachurin here. You want a slice of the good life? Well, I got a home run of a deal for you. I got here this fan. It's great for cooling things down that are real hot, like this slice here. Go ahead and give it a spin here. It cools you down when things are hot. Chris, what's a computer? I don't know. It's not working. It's got the funny end with the fan. And this side just plugs into a computer. Hey, Rich, what's a computer? Steve? What's that computer thing? Yeah, I don't know. You're the techie guy, right? What's a computer? Jan? Does anyone know what the computer is? What's that computer, though? Tell me. Steve? Chris? Jan?
And we're back. That's the power of podcasting right there.
And it's the dumbest video we've ever made, so I hope you enjoyed that. The audio is enough.
Speaking of anthologies and stuff, I keep plugging away at this Theater of the Deranged. I host this short horror film anthology as this character called Damien Shadows. So, and the trailer was cut by this guy called Colin McDowell. Shout out to him. And let's play a trailer for Theater of the Deranged 2.
Your blood will turn white. Your face will turn green. Your eyeballs will pop. So terrifying that it is easier to die than to live.
That is one of the most retarded things I've ever heard.
Welcome to Theater of the Deranged 2. I'm your host, big-time internet psychic celebrity Damien Shadows.
What the fuck?
I notice after watching the short films in this anthology that they're nothing short of audiovisual conjuring spells.
Say your goodbyes, for soon you may be up in the skies.
Minobot.
Leave him alone, Cheeky!
Now, this is the weirdest they've ever been on.
Do what to do, made a hit with the girls. They had their hair bobbed and gave him the curls. Oh, how he blew that do what to do, what to do.
Theater of the Deranged 2. The whole world's a stage.
Tell me about May the Best Man Win. We're getting all the plugs in now, and then we're going to have fun later.
May the Best Man Win is a movie directed by Andrew O'Connor, who is the creator of the show Peep Show, which is a show over in the UK that is on Netflix now. That's really cool. You got to check it out. And it's produced by one of the guys who produced the Ali G Show, and was written by those guys and this guy Matt Robinson, who wrote and directed The Invention of Lying with Ricky Gervais, and also this guy Lee Hupfield, who helped write it and is just this amazing like prank whiz kid man guy. But it's this movie about these two guys who really like messing with people. They like kind of fucking around with people, pranking people, and then they meet this girl who also likes doing that, and they fall in love with her, and they start to kind of prank each other to try to win her over, and there's this big competition involved that they create, and all that, you know, some of it is real, because we had to actually go out and shoot pranks and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And some of it's real. Like anytime anybody in the movie's watching something on a computer, and we're doing stuff in public to people, that's real. Like none of it's really planned. It's, you know, it's like
no rules, man. Power violence continues.
Yeah, totally. But you know, I don't know. It's a cool movie. I don't know when it'll come out, but it should be funny.
Yeah. Oh, that's the thing also about my Theater of Deranged. February 2014, maybe you can get it on DVD. we'll shoot for that. You know, we don't have a deal yet, but it seems like that's going to happen.
Even if I wanted to, and I can't change, even if I try.
I want to ask you about this. I was walking through your place of residence. I don't want to give too much away because, you know, Whit Thomas has some stalkers, so this is very careful information here. there's this, you live in this big house with, it's like, I was like, is this a commune? I think that's good for comedians, right? You live with a bunch of comedians. Do you think that helps your brain be a better comic?
I don't know. I mean, it's definitely good to hang out with other comedians. It keeps you fresh, and it also helps you kind of figure out what type of comedian you are, I think, quickly. You know, I live with the guys in Power Violence, and then this other comic, Brooks Whelan, and this guy, Mike Bush, and then the other people who live there are just, you know, a couple people work at a barbershop, and a couple people just kind of do odd jobs, and then Clay's parents are living there right now, just briefly. And, you know, I think it's good, maybe, but and also I hate living in this house with all these people. I'm kind of sick of it. I'm sick of having to collect 9 different people's rent every month.
Yeah.
I really look forward to, like, being able to have one roommate or no roommate. I took a huge step backwards moving into this house. I was living alone in a tiny studio, just didn't have any worries, and then moved into this cool house in the hills with all these idiots. And now I...
So you're
so
the
many words.
You're the person who's responsible for collecting the rent. You're the responsible one.
Yeah.
So that's why it's a drag, because they're all like, and you're like, I can't be afford to be out fucking $4,000 or whatever the fuck that rent is on that house.
Yeah. It's really stressful.
But
it's good.
On the other hand,
stuff to talk about.
You got fucking, you know, the speed of your joke maker.
Yeah.
Does it get old, though, if they're, like, the ball busting? Do you need to, after performances, like, go away by yourself for a while and sit alone just to recharge?
No. I don't care, ever. My goal as a comic, you know, I don't know how... I have a lot of fun being a comedian, being, like, a stand-up. That's what all I want to do, really. That's, like, that's what makes me happy, is being a stand-up. And my goal right now, and I was talking to Baron Vaughn, who's a really great stand-up, and he was saying, you know, just to perform, like, when you're on stage, just perform all of your jokes, and, like, perform everything as great as you can, as best as you can, and then after, once you get off, just kind of chill. That's what he does, and I really admire him a whole lot, so I don't think about it. I'm definitely not the brooding type to go sit in a corner after after a set with, like, a Jack and Coke and be all upset, you know?
Or just to recharge, you know?
I don't know how much recharging I need. I do, after shooting that movie, I definitely wanted to go on vacation, but I didn't. I don't have any money to go on vacation.
Yeah.
Also, it's my favorite thing in the world to do is to perform and be on stage. If anything, I'm bummed once I have to get off stage. I always get the light too quick. Like, I always want to be on stage longer, you know?
I just got sacked, actually. I was working on this job called Nashville Confidential. I was like, I'm a story assistant on Nashville Confidential. I'll be a story producer in 2 months. And I'm bragging on the podcast. Boy, am I putting my foot in my mouth now, because after 3 weeks, I got shit-canned. 2.5, and then I said, I'm going to keep coming until fucking security drags me out of this place. So now my goal is to just do reality shows and then stand up in the interims. But, it's fucking...
That's what it's all about, man.
Yeah.
I used to deliver groceries, and I was so happy delivering groceries at yummy.com, which I recommend to everybody.
I remember you telling me a lot of stories from that.
If you want a cool job, go try to work there.
But
it's a great job.
So what job do you hate now that you're not at that awesome job anymore?
Oh, I don't have a job anymore.
Oh, okay.
Who knows? Maybe I'll have to get one. I stopped working there in December, but... That was the happiest. I mean, I remember talking to my dad and other people going, like, I'm good delivering groceries and doing stand-up and writing. I'm happy doing this, you know, as long as it takes.
Yeah.
And then as soon as that happened, you know, I was able to get quit my job. Like, as soon as I was happy doing that. And I think that's what it's really all about, is a performer or somebody who's, like, doing anything sort of within the entertainment industry or the arts. It's like, it's just about, like, being really, really happy in with your life. I'm not saying you can be satisfied, because I think it's a good thing sometimes to be unsatisfied, because it keeps you motivated. I'm just saying, like, just know what makes you happy, and, like, just doing stand-up makes me happy. If I was ever to be able to make my living doing stand-up, or just being a comedian, or, you know, making things, that would be great, but I think the goal really is just to be able to do stand-up and be happy doing it.
Mm-hmm.
No, you know what? I'd probably just want to make a whole lot of money just quickly.
You would sell out?
Oh, I'd sell out in a second.
What's your sell-up? So what's your number? 2 mil? You make a cool 2 mil, you are gone.
Yeah. Make a cool 2 mil, for sure. I definitely would go, maybe even get a one-bedroom apartment instead of a studio. Definitely would move out of this mansion.
I'd like to do some observational humor for you now. I hope you can identify with it. Hey, don't you hate when you're in bed with three women and the least attractive one whispers, "Save it for me"? Man, that's a drag.
You're a huge fan of Jim Carrey, it mm-hmm. seems like, and from what I see from the power violence stuff that you put out, you like sight gags, and you wrap people in cellophane mm-hmm. and stuff like that. I think Jim Carrey was like a master sight gag artist. He showed how important that skill is. How do you describe his influence?
It's amazing, dude. I mean, he changed my life. I remember the first time I knew about Jim Carrey through Living Color as a kid. My dad would tell me to come watch in Living Color. We'd sit and watch it. But then when Ace Ventura came out, I was like 6 years old, and my parents took me to see it with my brother. And afterwards, we went to a restaurant, and we were sitting there eating, and I was like, I gotta go to the bathroom. Give me an excuse, and walked to the bathroom. I was six, you know, as a little kid. And I walked to the bathroom and destroyed it. I, like, had this weird urge just to destroy it. I didn't know what it was. It was like... like this, I don't know, this
weird
energy.
So wait, did you,
energy.
Like, break the porcelain? Like
I took all the toilet paper out of everything and all the paper towels and just, like, turned all the faucets on and put soap everywhere, just destroyed this bathroom. And I remember sitting there looking in the mirror just, like, thinking it was so funny, and I had never done anything like that.
Yeah.
It's like this chaos was so
yeah.
great. And then going back and sitting down, and about 10 minutes later, the manager comes, "Excuse me, sir, ma'am, we have reason to believe that your tiny son just went and destroyed an entire bathroom."
What?
What the hell are you doing?
I'm kicking my ass, do you mind?
You know, I sort of looked like him as a kid. I mean, I definitely still kind of look a little
you
bit
can
like
pull
him when
faces
I smile.
And
yeah.
you know,
and like if I sometimes if I smile people like for the longest time, especially if my hair is longer, when I smile in a photo people will go, "Stop doing that Jim Carrey face." It's just me showing my teeth. I think we have similar teeth or something.
Yeah.
So, and then you know, it affected me. He changed everything for me, and I was only six, but still he changed everything, and I still like owe so much of my comedy to him. And I was lucky enough a few months ago to get to do a video with him at Funny or Die, and got to sit. I was just going there because my friends Nick and Charles, who are directing it, they directed the one, the gun control one, Lonesome Earl.
Charlton Heston movies are no longer in demand. His immortal soul may lay forever in the sand. The angels wouldn't take him up to heaven like he planned, 'cause they couldn't pry that gun from his cold, dead hand.
They directed it, and they wanted me to be his stand-in. They thought mm-hmm. it'd be funny, because mm-hmm. we look alike or whatever. And I get there, and Jim's like, I don't really need a stand-in. You could just like hang out and play like my fan in the front. And I was like, oh, that's easy. So I did that. And but what was really great is getting to... on breaks, me and my friend Josh Fadem, who's an amazing physical comedian and just overall guy and comedian, we were sitting talking, and somehow Jim found out that we were both stand-ups, and he came and was like, "You guys are stand-ups?" And we were like, "Yeah." And he just came and sat by us and talked to us for like 30 minutes mm-hmm. just about comedy, and gave us his timeline and his advice and his philosophy on comedy, and like you know, he was all about being universally funny, he said. And it was just like, it was life-changing.
Wow.
Think about it all the time, and I love talking about it. I'm such a huge fan of his that it was almost weird and creepy for me to
It's almost like you. I've lived
him.
This moment so many times, yeah. Dreaming.
I mean, I have a painting of him on my wall.
Do some news stories now, people. Scientology, they have this thing called Narconon. Narconon is their version of how they get you off drugs, rehab. They have their Narconon facility. And so some Scientologist kid was probably paying $30,000 a minute to be there. And then they were giving him care. And he requested some over-the-counter pain relief. And then he wanted to see a doctor, like a real doctor. And they said, he's not on staff right now. And then he died. And so here's what I think about, and I've said this many times about Scientology, that you know, there's like Vulcanism, like Vulcan. You can speak Vulcan. You know, it's like a made-up language. They have like made-up science, and they've made up, therapies. And it's a made-up, it's like medical Vulcanism, basically. Do you know any Scientologists? We're pretty close to Mecca right here.
I know a couple Scientologists, but they're both born into it.
Yeah.
And anybody, I feel like, who is just, like, raised a Scientologist isn't weird. I mean, nobody I know who's a Scientologist likes to talk about it.
Yeah.
Which is
weird already.
Because
the stigma, because of the internet.
It's very strange already, but all the Scientologists that I do know, they're all raised that way, and they don't really drink a lot. Or, like, party too much. And they're just kind of normal, but they just don't like talking about their religion, which is fine. But I just think, it's a creepy religion. It's just creepy. It's like, it's weird. They have a castle called the Celebrity Center, and it's strange. They don't do a lot not to seem creepy. I think all religions are weird. It's all weird, it's all strange, and there's all these creepy elements.
The thing is, I just go through that tech, and it's not how to run from an SP. It's PTSSP, how to confront shatter suppression. You apply it, it's like, boom. Because they don't come up to me and do that. They won't do it to me. Not to my face, you know, or anywhere in my vicinity where they feel they can be confronted, you know. They said, so, like, have you met an SP?
They live in a castle, or they have to wear all navy blue, and it's just, they're not doing a lot to like, be like, you know what, we're kind of getting a bad rap, we should probably chill, you know, just chill on everything, and maybe tone down the covers of the Dianetics book. They don't do that. Instead, they have a volcano exploding, and it says Dianetics, and it's like, it's just like the imagery and the whole aesthetic and vibe of Scientology is just creepier than most.
Also, I think because everything's secret, you know, it's like, oh, you want to get to the next level? Well, pay this money and then we'll open this secret door to get free this information. I think information should be free. It's like, you know, also Harvard is now like putting all their lectures on for free. So it's like you can spend $40,000 a semester, or you can podcast the lectures and be a fucking doctor from the internet for free. And so that's where clearly society's going, and they so want to keep the structure of playing this real life Dungeons and Dragons thing. But if you want to reveal this card, you're going to have to, it's like, calm the fuck out. They make it like, this is the most important thing ever. And if you want to see this, it's so, why it's creepy.
When I was at church, they taught me something else. If you preach hate at the service, those words aren't anointed. That holy water that you soak in has been poison.
I mean, Sarah Silverman, I'm watching Comedians in Cars with Coffee, or whatever it's called, Jerry Seinfeld show. Mm-hmm. And Sarah Silverman was talking to him about a new bit she's working on.
It's new to hear people worship a guy named Ron in our ears. Feels weird. We know Ron's. And like Ron, he had to make his name L. Ron because there was another Ron Hubbard in the Writers Guild. That's how recent of a religion it is. And that's why we feel, you know,
it's
weirded
great.
Out by it.
That
it's no more
so
weird
funny.
Than f-ing everything.
What do you think about this? The U.S. government is collecting the DNA of world leaders. You know, what do you think about all this police state and the spy agency? I was watching a stuff on Russia today where there's this NSA guy was saying that, you know, the intelligence community every day is blackmailing, you know, Barack Obama not to, you know, say what he really thinks and to keep him in line. And, you know, there's also rumors that, like, he was gay in the fucking 80s and smoked crack with this guy called Larry Sinclair. Actually, let's play a little of Larry Sinclair's testimony.
I mentioned I could use a line or two to wake up. Senator Obama asked me if I was referring to coke, and I stated I was. After stating I was, Obama stated he could purchase cocaine for me and then made a telephone call. I did ingest a couple of lines of cocaine, and shortly thereafter, Senator Obama produced a glass cylinder pipe and packet of crack cocaine from his pocket. Obama then smoked the crack cocaine. I performed fellatio on Senator Obama in the limousine during the time Senator Obama was smoking crack cocaine.
And we're back. So maybe he's a crazy guy, but maybe he smoked crack with Barack Obama and fucking sucked his dick. Who cares? But, you know, the general public would force him out of office for some reason for that information. So, you know what I mean? What do you think of all this police state and, you know, intelligence?
I mean, dude, I don't care. I hope that there's, like, I hope that there's a lot of secrets because it's exciting, and hopefully, like, one day I'll be in a position to where I get to learn about these secrets and maybe be even included in some of them. And
so you're for it, and you just want to be a spy with them, collecting people's DNA.
I like the idea of something like extraordinary happening that we don't know about, and I also. I'm with you as far as, like, I don't care that Barack Obama smoked crack or sucked the guy's dick. I don't care that Bill Clinton got a blowjob.
Yeah.
Maybe it sucks for Hillary, but I imagine Hillary didn't really care. Like, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I hate that people care about that kind of
stuff. But then they would leverage that into, like, political... Like, look at Petraeus. Like, you know, he was this thing of the CIA, and then some reporter who was really hot was like, you're a man of power. They had sex, and then now he's not the director of CIA. It's like... Isn't the, like, drone strikes he, like, launches every day, like, more important than, like, one... Than, right. like, his wife's vagina? You know what I mean? Like...
It's very weird. And it makes me... This kind of stuff makes me believe that we are very small. And that there is someone... Like, aliens or something watching over us and giving us these weird rules to the government and...
But if you want to know that alien shit, you gotta pay a lot of money up front. And then we'll give you that fucking secret card.
Yeah.
The elected body, they call them the loyal officers. They were there to protect the populations and so forth. And they had elected a fellow by the name of Zemu, could be spelled X-E-M-U, to the supreme ruler. And they were about to unelect him. And he took the last moments he had in office to really goof the floof. Yes, I don't blame you for dropping something. And,
what do you think about... I'm just throwing shit by you, you know. Cool. Divorce courts mirror society as more women pay alimony. Now, I go back and forth on alimony all the time. I think it's like, oh, so you were married to someone, and then I guess if they pay all your bills and you're not, like, you know, responsible for working and you're a housewife for a long time, it might be hard to... But, like, to maintain your lifestyle at a ridiculous level, I just think, no, if you're not in love, you could, like, the guy could pay for maybe a one-bedroom apartment for a couple years till you get on your feet, and then, for fuck's sake, like, half of your, you know what I mean? I don't know.
Oh, I totally know what you mean. I don't know, my aunt gets alimony from my uncle, and she doesn't really do anything. She hasn't done anything for a long time, and it's frustrating. Because
it, like, enables that kind of thing. It's like, well, I don't have to do shit, you know, because I sucked this asshole's dick for 5 years. You know what I mean? So now pay me for the rest of my life. Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
I don't like that shit.
I don't know.
I think it's bad for the economy, too, if people can just, like, lay back and, you know what I mean?
But also, I think if you're the type of guy who's going to marry somebody like that, or the type of girl who's going to marry somebody like that, maybe you deserve to have to pay them so much alimony.
Yeah, but you don't know the person's like that until they all of a sudden realize, like, wait a minute, I don't like this guy anymore, but I kind of want to get paid for the rest of my life. So it makes fucking marriage into, like, a system of blackmail.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's like, that's not what marriage is about, all this legal shit.
A certificate on paper isn't going to solve it all, but it's a damn good place to start.
I really don't know. I don't know.
You're not a very political person.
I'm really not very political, no. I'm for it.
Oh my God, speaking of being for or against them, or I vote by mail. Or at least I have been. Because I figure they'll mail it to me. I don't have to wait in line for fucking 2 hours with the riffraff voting. But I'll do my civilly duty and I'll fucking register to vote by mail. So I'm on some lists, and this lady, this local representative in fucking Van Nuys, sends her people like 3 times a week. And my roommates keep on having to be like, fuck off. And her propaganda is like always filling my mailbox and stuff like this. So now I'm not voting anymore. So now, thank you, Cynthia Gomez or whoever the fuck has been clogging. I don't even know her name. That's how well your fucking leaflets work. Now I stop voting because I've been harassed too much by this local representative. Now I don't care anymore.
Oof. Yeah, well, she blew it.
It's human rights for everybody. There is no difference. Live on.
Okay. A psychic pig is going to make the Eurotips. Now, remember the octopus. There was this octopus in the 2010 mm-hmm. World Cup who correctly predicted every single game, like 10 games in a row. Now they have a psychic pig. What do you think about this?
Love it. I believe it. It's cool. I love the idea of a psychic pig. I like the idea of any pig. And a pig with powers? Ugh. Give me a break. Heck yeah, I'm down and I believe it.
The octopus actually passed away and I think was made into sushi. So that's a sad story how that ended, but you know.
You could eat the pig. Maybe we could get... Maybe
but that's how Japanese like, people work. Like, if there's like a lion has a lot of power, so they'll like eat the lion's dick, you know what I mean? Yeah. But if the octopus has psychic powers, make sushi. Now I have psychic powers.
Yep. There you go.
Science, people.
Mm-hmm.
Chinese science.
Yeah.
I was going to play strip poker, which was cool, in college, but with some oinkers. And I texted my friend and I said, can you come in the room and say that my dad got in a car accident and I have to leave immediately? Because, you know, I don't mind showing my dick if, like, the, you know, I'm... That's not something I normally do, but if the girls around are really hot and they have to show their tits, if the poker goes right, you know what I mean? Or so you got to weigh. Sometimes you got to.
This is Power Mountains. We can only skate as a joke.
So, are you a proficient skateboarder? Is that like something that you know? Have you ever had a big dream to X Games?
That was the dream. Never the X Games, really. The dream was to. To get sponsored and come out to L.A. as a kid. But by the time I was, like, 15, I'd broken so many bones that I wasn't able to... That dream wasn't really a reality anymore.
So injuries put you into the comedy game?
Yeah, honestly, it did. By the time I was 14, I had broken my wrist twice, tore my ACL.
Whoa.
And just ruined my ankle.
All from skateboarding.
And I had, like, 4 surgeries and just, like... You know, I just decided this isn't... And my friend Clay had also hurt his ankle at the same time, so we decided we'd start making funny videos. That's really how we got into it. Instead of making skate videos, we started making sort of, like, funny videos. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, I like to skate a lot. Still, I skate as much as I can now, and I'm okay at it. I can, you know, I can handle it.
You can kick flip and all that stuff.
Yeah, for sure.
I always think, like, every time you're doing a kick flip or a shifty or I don't know many skateboarding terms, but you're always, like, rolling the dice. As that board's flipping around, you're rolling the dice going, I hope I don't, like, land in a sideways and just... Because I've broken my ankle a bunch of times. It doesn't take much. You fucking land on your ankle weird and your body weight can't support it at certain angles and you're fucked.
Yeah, it doesn't take much, but... You just learn it's like muscle memory on a skateboard. So you sort of know when to plant your feet onto the board and, you know, after a while of doing it. Once you're learning or if you haven't skated in a while, you forget. But, you know, I don't know. It's still my favorite thing. It's that, being on stage and then skateboarding. Those are my favorite things to do.
I like the trampoline and ping pong. Those are my sports.
Yeah. And those are good. I just recently learned how to do a kickflip Indy, which is a trick on a skateboard, and I learned how to do that on a trampoline first.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You just have the board, and then you jump with it on the trampoline and get to...
Yeah.
I used to do that with a BMX bike. We would tape up the wheels, and we would, you know... And once it started getting into front flips, though, we had to stop because there was a lot of black eyes, because you would front flip, and then the fucking handlebars would land and pop you in, you know,
yeah,
in the face.
Oof.
And a friend of mine broke a tooth, too. So
well, I don't like that.
We had to stop doing the flips.
I performed fellatio on Senator Obama in the limousine during the time Senator Obama was smoking crack cocaine.
During a World Series between the Red Sox and the Yankees one year, the mascot was missing for, like, Game 7. And then all the fans were emailing the police every day going, the Yankees stole the Red Sox mascot to play mind games, you know? And then they called the Red Sox, and then the official said, no, an employee actually accidentally took it home. But here's between the lines of it. See, every time you read an article, you gotta look between the lines. What are they not saying you? The employee was working for the Yankees, spying, okay?
Yep.
So
one of those spy employees.
I love how people like call up the police going, oh, the Red Sox, the Yankees are playing mind games. But it's like, no, they're playing mind games with themselves, making up this this scenario.
Yeah, totally. I like that people care so much about sports. And I never really understood it. I was like, who gives a... Yeah. But recently I've gotten really into Alabama football. That's where I'm from. I totally understand it now, because I get so invested in those football games. And I would totally go steal the Auburn mascot, the tiger.
There's like a level of loyal, like, I don't get it. I'm from New Jersey. I don't know about the college football scene, but those fans are so, because they feel, especially if they're all alma maters, you know, and they, you know, there's that huge culture. Everyone comes down, and there's, you know, the fans are insane. They're selling out stadiums.
Yeah, it's great, dude. I love it.
When you're home, do you catch those games?
No. It's the other side of Alabama, so I don't ever get to go.
What do you mean, the other side?
Well, I'm in the deepest, most southern point in Alabama, and Tuscaloosa is sort of, like, towards the top, north side of Alabama, so.
Did you have any culture shock when you moved to California? When did you move to California?
2006, I moved here. No, I didn't really have any culture shock. All I realized is that there's more pretty people and more ugly people. And there is a really confusing culture. It's like...
What do you mean?
It's not a culture shock. It's like a lack of culture shock in a way. Los Angeles, like, the culture is really confused. It wasn't at all what I thought it was going to be. For movies, you always see one way, L.A. one way, and then you get there, and it's like, where's the cool stuff? I remember it took years for me to find the cool stuff in L.A.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't so much a culture shock as it was just me feeling lonely all the time for just a straight year not knowing anybody.
Yeah, that's tough. Always when you move in, starting over, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But I think, like, the place like the UCB and places like, you know, that's where... I remember, like, because I came up through the training center at UCB New York, and there, like, I remember having this, like, tingling feeling always, like, these are all people that are exactly like me, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I felt like I had this...
It's like a kinship. I didn't get that so much from UCB. I see how people do get it. I got it more from
stand-up. I got it more at the New York one.
Yeah.
Than the LA one.
I definitely felt that when I started, like... making stand-up my main thing. Like, I immediately felt a kinship to everybody in the room in the open mic or wherever we were. And that hasn't gone away. So I was improv only for a couple years, and then I started doing stand-up just as a way to host the show, host Power Violence between acts. And that's when I was like, that's what I want to be doing.
Yeah.
And then I just dove into doing that.
Yeah. And I can't change. Even if I try, even if I wanted to. Like, you know, you drive around in LA, talk about culture shock. The Burbank police are the fucking worst police in Los Angeles. I've talked about this too much on the podcast anyway. They give out so many chicken shit fucking tickets, it's unbelievable. And I have to go to court in August. And when I go to court in August for this ticket, because I made a right when pedestrians were coming towards me. The pedestrians didn't break their fucking stride while they were walking, and some guy on a motorcycle, like, weaved between three babies to give me a fucking ticket for going in front of people. And I'm going to court, in August, and I swear to you, I'm going to bring my fucking Zoom recorder, and I'm going to put the whole system on trial, okay? I'm going to put the fucking, I'm going to subpoena everybody in that fucking room, and I'm going to bring it down. So the judge, like, how much fucking school does a judge have to go to? Okay, and now he's a chicken shit ticket stamper. You know what I'm fucking saying? Mm-hmm. You have disgraced yourself, Your Honor. I'm just practicing my speech right now. You have disgraced yourself, Your Honor.
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not gonna take this anymore!
I'm mad as hell, and I'm not gonna take it anymore!
Okay. Mrs.
Benz? Yes?
I was wondering if you had any fabric softener.
I do. This is the third time you've come here today.
I'm so sorry, Mrs. Benz, but honestly, yours... Do you make your own? How does it,
You know we have fabric softener, okay? You've bought it three times today. Why do you keep coming up to me and asking...
Why do I have to buy it?
Because it costs money. You can't... How many fabric softener sheets are you using right
now? My family's going to stay here this weekend, and...
Are you trying to stock up?
I'm with you. Can we stay here?
You want to shack up with me? I said
just this weekend. This weekend.
No, you cannot stay here. This is a Rite Aid.
But my parents say I have it. They think I have air conditioning.
Where are you from?
Many places. Okay. I'm well traveled.
Why would your parents think that it is okay for you to be living inside of a Rite Aid?
I've told them maybe a couple fibs on the phones.
What have you told them?
I was an astronaut.
And that you live inside of a Rite Aid?
With a when I'm training, there's a lot of supplements here.
Are you talking about vitamins?
In the dryer next door.
Okay.
In the laundry.
So what I'm catching right now is that this is why you want your parents to come visit here and think that you live here, because wherever you're from, they don't have vitamin supplements, and that you think that they will be blown out of the water because you live in a place that sells vitamin supplements. And number two, because next door is a dry cleaner.
Coin Laundry.
Yeah, okay.
And dry cleaning. But that's more of a side thing.
Have your parents ever been in society before?
They are coming here on the train. They're hopping a train.
So they're hopping onto a train. Is it a freight train or is it a train?
Cargos.
It's a cargo train. Okay, how did you
get... They're shacking up here.
How did you get here?
If I could just have a little fabric softener, okay. I'll be out of this is.
If I give you some fabric softener, will you tell me how you got here?
From my home country?
Yeah.
From a cat's. My cat's. I have six cats, and I've tied them to a sled, and I've come up from my home country. My parents got a map right before I left of trains. I didn't get the train map, and so I came here on my cats.
Where have you...
On a sled.
What the hell is this?
My parents, they wrote to me. The letter got to me on a pigeon. The pigeon had invisible ink on it. I undid the code with my urine to see the note from my parents to say they were coming on... The twins.
And somehow, wherever you're from, vitamin supplements, fabric softener, and coin laundry is a
I have laundry.
Status. Well, so you just want a bunch of fabric softener. How would you have an endless amount of laundry?
But when I'm training to be accepted to be an astronaut.
Oh, so you're training.
In the dryers. You know, it gets very hot when you re-enter the orbit. And with the tumbling, I can keep my equilibrium, and for those reasons, that I train in the dryer.
All right, you're 46 years old. I don't think you're going to be able to be an astronaut, number one. Number two,
I'm very colorblind.
You don't train on your own to be an astronaut.
I got my regiment.
No, that's not... What do you plan on doing, filming yourself in a... dryer tumbling around and putting it on YouTube and then sending it to NASA?
That's how people get noticed these days.
No, but not to be astronauts.
Can I borrow one of these digital camera chips?
You cannot borrow anything.
I'll get my friend Freddy has a camera, but he said, you get me a chip, I make you a video for the NASA, for right. the training. They'll see you in the dryer. They'll see you with the fabric softener. How many? Do you know how much fabric softener I've drank? I've basically been living on fabric softener for the last 3 years.
Oh, so you've been eating it?
Well, boy, I'm in hot water now.
Okay, so you've been here for 3 years and you still have no idea how the world or society works. You came here from cats. You tied yourself to a bunch of cats. And
South America. I'm from South America.
You're from South America.
I was planning to speak this language from German instructional videos.
All right.
Of English and movies, and I saw the season of Degrassi.
I can give you some fabric softener. I can give you that chip, and you have to just leave me alone forever. And your parents can't live here. But there's a CVS in the other strip mall across the street.
The security's a little tighter around that CVS.
Yeah, it is a little tighter, but once you get inside, it's CVS.
Oh, my training schedule!
Your training
schedule? I got to go to the trial.
Okay, have fun. Bye.
The whole world's a stage.
Senator Obama appeared at my hotel room, unannounced, uninvited, where we again ingested cocaine and I again performed fellatio on Senator Obama.
All right, go ahead and have a seat there.
Oh, yeah, thanks.
Hi, I'm Dr. Jefferson.
Hi, doctor.
Okay, just go ahead and take out your dick for me.
Okay, all right, here.
Yep, mm-hmm, that's your dick.
Okay. I think you're supposed to call it a penis, doctor.
Well, you know.
Jefferson.
I'm a doctor. So
I know you're colloquial and everything.
Okay, well, this dick, that's a nice dick.
Thanks! I mean, just the proportions of it. Yeah. Smooth. Medically it's okay.
You know, most dicks are a little bit more scarred after circumcision, but you managed to get out with a clean, smooth dick, and you should be proud of yourself for that.
It's weird, because the ring where that's normally, it's a little aloe, a little vitamin E, and the ring around the circumcision scar that most mm-hmm. people have is kind of, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Well, thanks for noticing.
All right, well, you know, and you do actually,
Yeah, Dr. Jefferson, you shouldn't be just staring so much. I mean, there's other places. This is a physical exam, you know. There's other places. Maybe.
It is a nice dick, is all I'm saying. And I envy your dick. And, you know, okay, yeah, you definitely do have genital warts. But let's move on from that. We not only specialize in testing for STDs, but we also specialize in a little thing we call a dick transfer. I would say
transfer.
If I wanted to get a dick transfer, and I saw a man with a nice, smooth dick that didn't have much of a scar on it, I'd be able to cut my dick off and cut the other person's dick off, and we could switch each other's dicks, and then I could go home and make my wife proud.
Medically, what would that do for me?
I haven't even brought you into this equation. You already said you had dick envy. Have a nice, smooth dick, and I have a gross, ugly, brown, scarred dick, and I would like a nice, smooth dick, and I'm just saying, what do you think of a dick transfer? Not for you, but do you think it's okay? Do you think that my wife would like it if I had your dick?
I don't get many complaints about my dick, okay. Really.
All right. And as far as it plumps up a little bit, how big would you say it gets to?
I mean, you can see even flaccid, I'm a solid 5, okay. So I mean, do some math.
All right.
13 and a half?
13 and a half. Yeah, okay, that's exactly what I'm looking for here is a 13 and a half. All right, so what I'm asking you right now is to go ahead and, you know, I'll get rid of these warts for you for free. And
wow.
I'll do you a major favor, get rid of those warts, and then I will solder off your dick and solder off my dick. I'll place my dick on your dick, and then you'll place your dick onto where mine goes.
Can I just see yours first?
Well,
to see what I'd
be
getting
in
there?
It's ugly, scarred, and brown, and you know. But you get free. You get your genital warts removed for free.
That thing's like an olive pit.
Mm-hmm. Yep. It's like an olive pit. And you're not the first person who's told me that. Okay? I know it's like an olive pit. I've known what an olive pit was since I was 2 years old. I shouldn't have known, but that's how it was described to me by my mother. Is I love everything about you except for your weird little olive pit dick.
Was that a botched circumcision? Because mine went real smooth.
I don't know how this happened. It was actually done by a non-practicing Jew, so maybe that was it.
A non-practicing rabbi?
Yeah.
You got scammed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, his name was John Fishman.
That's not even a Jewish last name.
Sounded Jewish. Yeah, my mom said it sounded Jewish enough. But in reality, we're kind of thinking it was just a guy who likes to cut baby dick. Anyway, as a man who likes to cut man dicks, why don't you go ahead and let me chop that dick of yours off and put it where my dick goes.
So you're going to perform the surgery?
Yeah, I'll perform the...
How are you going to... Is it going to be local anesthetic? You can't go under yourself,
right? No anesthetic, no. No anesthetic. Honestly, it's very illegal, and I don't have a lot of money to waste on anesthetic.
These warts are itchy.
Yeah, and I will chop those suckers off, oh, and then I'll chop your dick off and put that dick where my dick goes. So you'll be wart-free. I don't have warts. I got a tiny, weird, little olive pit dick, but no warts.
I see that you got the red rind of cheddar over there. Cheese.
Yeah.
Throw that in?
I'll throw it in. Yeah.
Really?
You want the cheese? Yeah, I'll throw the cheese in.
I'm a pretty good negotiator. You got yourself a deal.
All right. I can't change, even if
I try. Lewis and Clark? Yeah, let's do that. Lewis and Clark explore the West.
All right. Hey, Lewis, check it out.
Jack Clark! Yeah. Oh, shit! What is... That is a mountain that Plum no one has found.
Fresh mountain. Again. Pretty sure no one's ever pointed
Holy
at this.
Holy shit! No one's seen that. No white man's eyes have ever seen that mountain.
Check it out. Another mountain pointing.
Motherfucker!
Yeah, the people call me. I mean, my name is also Clark, but it's mainly Mountain Pointer.
I'm mapping this right now. That's that we are looking for the Louisiana Purchase right here.
It's real cool, but not as cool as that mountain over there.
Oh my God! He does it again. What would we do without Mountain Pointer Clark?
I don't know, man.
Because I don't see him really. As we're trudging through the wilderness, I don't really see them until
bad eyesight.
Maybe that's what it is.
I have 20/20, so that's why they call me Mountain Pointer Clark.
Well, I am hungry.
Well,
let me tell you.
Why don't we go over there and get that mountain of a hog?
Whoa, that is a mountain of hog. I didn't even see that.
Yeah, and,
boy.
And I just bow and
arrow. Whoa.
Shot it with my bow and arrow.
You've been hanging out with Squanto.
I have been hanging. Well, you know, Squanto is also a little bit of a mountain pointer himself.
Get out of town. Uh-huh. Is he your apprentice?
He's not. I am actually his apprentice.
Squanto.
Yeah, I was hanging out with Squanto before I even knew you. It's a funny little story. Here, enjoy this mountain of pork.
Whoa, you done cooked that pork.
I did cook it. Another thing about 20/20 vision is that you can shoot lasers out of your eyes, which is really funny because my name is Clark and, I have this little idea.
Pork tartare. It's like singed around the outside and it's raw on the inside.
Yeah, that's how I cook things.
It's delicious.
Just straight up cook things with my eyes. They might one day base a superhero off of a guy named Clark who can shoot laser beams out of his eyes.
I think that you'll definitely be in the history books.
Uh-huh.
Every American school, when they learn about the Lewis and Clark adventure, will be taught Clark had laser eyes and chop pigs up and cook them.
Yes, sir.
You are a mountain of a friend.
Well, I never have been called that before.
Yep.
That's never been pointed out to me before.
I am really good at comparing things to mountains. Turn around. Look at that. That's a fresh mountain.
Oh, that's an ant mountain.
Yep. It's a tiny little ant mountain, but it is a mountain to those ants.
Whoa, Squanto teaches you Eastern, Western philosophies. That's very confusing in my brain.
Yeah, Squanto's kind of a killer dude.
You have assimilated handily.
Love Squanto. Me and Squanto will often hang out, smoke some opium, just totally chill, paint some stuff. I've always really enjoyed the time that I spend with Squanto. He's taught me about kebabs and how to make chicken kebabs and buffalo kebabs.
You think you can get me an audience with Squanto? Is that what you're building up for me? Because that's what the anticipation that's building in my soul.
You want to meet Squanto?
He's just been too aloof. I don't know if we get on.
Well, you know, what you gotta do with Squanto is you gotta look him right in the eye and tell him, Squanto, I don't give a fuck about you. All right? I don't care what.
Take him down a notch.
Take him down. Go up to him and go, fuck you, Squanto. Fuck
what?
You. Yeah.
The holy powerful guru Squanto, who taught you laser eyes, he taught you mountain pointing abilities, he taught you pig finding and anthill finding abilities,
yeah.
Making me feel good about my mountain self that's never pointed out to me. You'd say I should be mean to him?
Yeah, go up to him and go, fuck you. And then he'll go, what's up? And then y'all are friends.
Wait, that's Squanto right there. Yeah. All right, I'm going to do it.
Okay.
I'm going to walk up to him. Oh boy, I feel like I'm walking up to my prom date. That's gonna, oh boy. Okay.
Ow.
Squanto. Fuck you, Squanto. I hope you get shit on by a mountain cat. and farts.
Oh, dude, Squad is totally shooting his laser beam eyes at you right now.
Oh, fuck! Oh, man, God! Ah, I'm being cooked!
All right, hold on.
I'm Ta-Ta, right now!
Ice breath.
Oh, my God, I've been squanted healed by your ice breath.
Hey, Squad, I'm sorry about that, man. My friend Lois here, he doesn't know how to play the game. He'll never survive on the streets.
My body was torn apart and then rejuvenated.
Yep. By my ice breath. That's another thing that you taught me.
Mountain Point and Clark.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
You know,
I have seen so much today. Mm-hmm. So much has been pointed out to me.
Mm-hmm. Squanto can kind of be a not-so-chill dude sometimes if you catch him at the wrong time.
I felt like he looked into, like when I was being boiled by the lasers, I feel like he was also like looking into me and seeing my mistakes and just they were crying. And I saw visions of different doves being broken in half and lizards eating my soul. And,
Yeah, man. That's what Squanto's all about. Lizards eating your soul. Oh, dude, check it out. We're on top of a mountain.
Right? Oh, my God!
Yep. Follow me on Twitter at Whitmer Thomas. And watch our YouTube videos. Power Violence video. That's the best way, probably.
Cool. I also got a show, Flappers, July 19th, Friday, at 9:30, in the Yoo-Hoo Room. So check me out, doing some stand-up there, and, that's another episode of Highway Diary in the motherfucking bag. As always, click through the Amazon link. I'll try to get other sponsors, but, right now, that's what we got. Check out, Theater Deranged, February 2014. Also, I think, this other web series, Here Comes Godot, will come out around that time too. So check that out. And, thanks for being on the podcast, man.
Thanks, bro.
Cool. Play that.
So for me, it really is KSW.
Incident one is simply incident one. A person can have himself more than incident one, more than one, incident one. A person himself can have administered some incident ones. There can be an overt incident one.